Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.
Hippity-hoppity, Peter Cottontail. These are things that children learn in schools and churches about Easter. But is it biblical? Is this the biblical Easter that the Bible is talking about? Bunnies, eggs, rabbits. Does this have anything to do with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? This is what we want to find out today. I'm your brother, Gadaiwan, and we're going to be talking about Easter and the true Easter. What is this Easter all about? Is Easter something that's biblical, or is it something that is man-made, made up by man to go and appease the people? So welcome to another edition of Kings and Priests. Your brother Godwin here in London in the UK. And also we have joining us, well, for him it's the morning in the UK. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We haven't gone switched over to the daylight saving time. But we got the brother Abaja, who does a show on Friday nights. Repentance is the key. Brother Abaja, say a few words.
Here comes Peter Cottontail. I want to say shalom to all of the listeners, and say shalom to the people in the chat room. Oh, man. It's good to be on another show to seek edification and out of the scriptures through the repentance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that was a heck of an intro, but I had to get that one in there.
Well, come on, man. Don't tell me during Easter you wasn't looking forward to that Easter candy. Come on.
Man, every year, Easter egg hunts, dying Easter eggs, bunny rabbits, Easter baskets, the Easter suit, the one in three times of the year that people would come to church outside of Mother's Day and maybe either Thanksgiving or Christmas. You know, it's worldly tradition, you know. Especially for the kids, man. You got these little chick, the sugar-coated marshmallow chicks and the chocolate bunnies and Easter baskets with all kind of stuff in them, you know.
So that goes right along with the scripture, where the scripture speaks about a gift destroyeth the heart. So in the minds of many children, they're led astray by their little lust that they have. They want some candy. You know, they're not the truth. What the truth got to do with this candy right here? So many children are led astray by, you know, a little simple song like Peter Cottontail. I remember that in school. Remember they had a cartoon. Remember? Because that song is from a cartoon that they have, showing the Easter Bunny, the Easter Rabbit, and all that, putting these different indoctrinating the children into Easter. But you see, in that song, where it mentioned Christ?
Nowhere.
Not once. Was there a reference to it?
Oh, no. No, not at all.
So when they're speaking of Easter, you have to look and see how cunningly this day has been devised and put into the minds of the people. Now, I've got a clip I want to play with someone explaining the background of Easter, and we'll go into it. Rather than us explaining it, have someone else explain it. We're going to bring our strong suit is the scriptures. But let's listen to this person. They're going to break down some of the history of Easter and where it comes from.
We're going to talk about the origin of Easter today. I'm going to start with the month of April. April comes from the Roman month, Aprilis, named after the Roman goddess Venus, the sex and fertility. It's also named after the Greek goddess Aphrodite. Germans call the month of April Easter, not after the holiday, but after their goddess for sex, fertility, and rebirth, Easter. Thus, April is Easter's month in German. Easter or April is the start of spring and rebirth. April showers bring May flowers. Many people believe, though it has been disputed, that the origin for the word Easter comes from the ancient Babylonian goddess Ishtar. The ancient Babylonians used to worship this goddess during the rebirth of spring, this time of year. Though the tradition of celebrating the rebirth has been around for thousands of years, it wasn't until the 8th century that we began to see the word Easter appear, our common word for the time now. The tradition of painting eggs has been around as long as the idea of celebrating the rebirth of spring has been. It started with the ancient Romans and Persians painting eggs during their celebrations. And, of course, since we're talking about Easter, we're going to talk about one of the most popular symbols of Easter, the rabbit. The rabbit and the celebration with the rebirth of spring seems to be a perfect correlation, considering the rabbit is known for its promiscuity and its fertility. In the English language, we have many phrases to support this, such as multiply like rabbit, have sex like rabbit. We also have, in our culture today, the Playboy bunny, and terms like ski bunny, cuddle bunny, and sex bunny. And we come to another symbol of Easter, as well as another fertility symbol, the egg. The egg is believed to be, by Christians, the representation of the tomb and resurrection of Christ, stemming from the egg's hard shell and the chick bursting forth from it, representing the resurrection. There's an old Christian tale, about how an emperor said the resurrection of Christ was as likely as a red egg. After Christ resurrected, Mary Magdalene carried to the emperor a red egg. That is one theory of how Easter eggs became associated with the holiday. In England, Serbia, Croatia, and Bulgaria, they celebrate Easter with a game called Easter or egg jarping or egg dumping. Children play this game. They all have a hard-boiled egg. And the object of the game is to break your opponent's egg without breaking your own. The losers get to eat their egg, and the winner is the one with the last egg standing, or uncracked. That would be the origin of Easter.
So, a lot of stuff in there. I never knew that they had a month called, the Germans had it, they called April Easter. That's crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you see how it all goes into fertility gods. And our first scripture should be, what do you think our first scripture should be, Abaja?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
It's simple. You thought about it, like, what was Godwin thinking? And he's like, the hell with Godwin thinking? This is what the scriptures, I can hear it in your voice. Like, where's this brother going? Well, this is where I'm going. Let's get it. Let's read it in Exodus 20. It's simple. No. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because when you going into Easter, it is the worship of other gods. It's not the worship of the Most High, the God of the Bible. It doesn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. They just took it and they put Christ's name on it and say Easter is about Christ. No, it's not. That's a lie.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Here we go to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And, wow, it happens to be the very first commandment. Let me start at 21. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
That's boring. See, that's why you got to put Easter eggs, and that's why they had to amalgamate these different pagan traditions into the church to make it interesting for people. It's not entertaining. You're not going to get no sex out of that. But an Easter bash, you know, a bunny rabbit, you know, that's why they have the Playboy bunny. Why the bunny? It's a symbol of fertility. It's a symbol of sex. It's an erotic symbol. So, but when you look in the dictionary, what's the first definition that comes up for Easter? Is it what we just heard? That Easter is a spring fertility goddess? Is that the first definition? What do you think the first definition of Easter, when you read it, comes up with what? What do you think it comes up with?
Probably Passover.
Okay, let's see. Easter. This is from dictionary.com. It says, Easter, an annual Christian festival in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, observed on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox, as the Easter season, the week following Easter. So that is the first definition of Easter. Now, the origin of the word, it says before 900, Middle English, Easter, Old English, Estre. Cognate with German Osten, or original name of a goddess and her festival. Isn't that just what we heard in the explanation?
Yep.
So that's the original. How now this get mixed up with the church? So here's another definition of Easter. Same dictionary.com. Word or origin in history. Easter, calculated according to the tables best in Western churches on the Gregorian calendar and the Orthodox churches on the Julian calendar, also called Easter Sunday, the day on which the festival is celebrated. Old English, Estre. Northumbrian, Ostre. A goddess of fertility and sunrise, whose feast was celebrated at the spring equinox. To shine especially of the dawn. Bede says Anglo-Saxon Christians adopted her name and many of the celebratory practices for their mass of Christ's resurrection. Ultimately related to East, almost all neighboring languages use a variant of Latin Pascha to name this holiday. So it's telling you, I didn't make this up. This is the origin of this. That's why they have what? Sunrise worship. Saying, well, Christ rose on the sunrise. No, he was already gone when they came. He didn't rose when it was a sunrise. He was already gone. So they're fitting it in to worship this goddess of fertility and the sun. So here's the cultural definition of Easter. It says, Easter definition, an important religious festival among Christians. It commemorates the resurrection of Jesus after his crucifixion. Easter is celebrated on a Sunday in spring. And the season of Easter, a time of rejoicing, continues for several weeks. The pivotal season of Lent is a time of preparation for Easter. Now I'm going to stop, and I've got another clip. Because we did a whole show on Lent and Mardi Gras and how mm-hmm. that was wicked as hell, how that was going into the worship of Bacchus, another fertility god.
Wine and revelry.
Yeah. So I'm going to play this about Lent and Tammuz. So let's listen to this.
Tammuz is present in the Bible as Israel turns away from God and start weeping for Tammuz. This weeping was an age tradition based on the fact that Tammuz was cut down in his prime and died while hunting at the age of 40. Pagan transition maintained Semiramis and Tammuz came back to life for 6 months starting in spring, and there begins the spring goddess. 40 days of Lent is simply derived from the number of days the ancient people mourned for Tammuz, one day for each year of his life.
So that's where they get Lent from. And when you read in Ezekiel 8 and 14, it says, "Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz." So these are real god and goddesses that people went astray worshiping in ancient times. So that's where they get Lent. You don't read about Lent in the scriptures where it says, okay, you're supposed to give up something for Lent. This is all going into the worship of other gods. Verse 15 said, "Then he said unto me, Has thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination than these." So this wasn't a good thing that was happening. This was an abomination. This was a worship of other gods that the Heavenly Father detests. Verse 16, it says, "He brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun towards the east." That's why you have Easter fall on a Sunday. They established on that day on purpose.
Yep.
It's not a mistake. And we're gonna go into that. But I want to continue reading these different definitions that they have for Easter. So one was the top definition that they want everyone to think about in their minds, that Easter is about Christ. But when you start to look under the carpet, you begin to find what the truth is, the dirt that they want to hide. They don't want you to tell you about this, because then what, many people ain't going to go to their churches and be indoctrinated into Satanism, because that's what's really happening when you're celebrating an Easter celebration. It's Satanism. It doesn't have anything to do with Christ. Christ taught repentance. He didn't tell you to go around and tell your children to have an Easter egg hunt. He taught us to repent of our sins, but that ain't going to make your Easter gay, is it? You know, I'll be very happy about, man, I got to clean myself up. I got to stop lying. You know, I got to stop mistreating my wife or mistreating my husband. You know, I'm going to have to teach my children. Who going to teach you little suckers? Man, just put them in front of the TV and let them watch Peter Cottontail, and that'll, you know, give them instruction. No, you're supposed to teach your children. Spend time with your children. Many people don't want to do it. Easter, it says, Eastern Bible Dictionary. Easter definition, originally a Saxon word, Ostre, denoting a goddess of the Saxons in honor of whom sacrifices were offered about the time of Passover. Interesting, right? Yeah. If the name came to be given to the festival of the resurrection of Christ. Did you hear that?
Wow.
Took Easter and gave it for the name, for the festival of the resurrection of Christ. So they brought all these different practices and rituals that they would do on the worship of the goddess of Easter into the resurrection of Christ, but it doesn't have anything to do with Christ, which occurred at the time of the Passover. Because, interesting enough, this is when Christ died, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Christ died on the Passover, and it would make sense for him to die on the Passover because he was the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for the sins of Israel, right or wrong.
Right. Right.
In the early English versions, this word was frequently used as a translation of the Greek Pascha, the Passover. When the authorized version, 1611, was formed, the word Passover was used in all passages in which this word Passover occurred, except in Acts 12 and 4. In the revised version, the proper word Passover is always used. So it's only mentioned one time. Easter is only mentioned one time as a literal, as a transliteration, which means what they did, because this was the feast that they kept. Instead of putting Passover in, they put in Easter. And it's not something that's dubious or evil or wicked. They've done this many times in the scriptures. For example, instead of putting the biblical name Cush, they would put Ethiopia, because that's what was named at the time. But if you look in the Hebrew, you would see that it would say Cush or Hawash or Cush. That was the name instead of Ethiopia, but Ethiopia is Cush. So,
right.
So it is the Passover that we're supposed to be keeping. And just to point that out, after reading all of that, let's go to 1 Corinthians 5 and 7.
Yeah, because a lot of people, they have a big hang-up on that, not understanding why it says intending after Easter to let him go. Yeah, but that's actually in the Gospels or whatever. But I think, I got that. I'll go back to that next 12. Yes, I think anyway, it's going to be.
Let's read it in the chat. Corinthians 5 and 7, and we'll go back and explain that, because you brought that point out. But I want to show everyone, excuse me, I got a cold, everyone that it's Passover that we're supposed to be keeping, and Christ is synonymous or on the same wavelength as Passover, because Christ was the Passover lamb. He was that sacrificial lamb that was sacrificed for the Israelites. Read on.
Here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Our Easter is sacrificed for us?
Our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Right. So Christ is our Passover. So that's what we're supposed to observe, the Passover. Now, one of the Passover rituals was that what? You had to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. But what Paul is explaining is that what? We have to purge out the old leaven that's in us, which was that wickedness, that malice and wickedness. That's what we have to get out of us instead of following the Levitical precepts as far as getting the leaven out of your house. And I know many Israelites are still doing that today. It's something that we used to do when we didn't understand that what? If Christ is my Passover, why am I trying to get old breadcrumbs out of my house when, you know, he's instructing me to get the malice and wickedness out of me? Why?
Can I read this thing?
Sure.
I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 together.
Go ahead.
It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Verse 8. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven,
what
but even with the leaven.
What feast is it talking about?
The Passover.
Let's keep the feast. Easter?
It said Easter. Passover in the previous verse.
Okay.
So here we go. Verse 8. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, how plain is that?
That's plain. And also, Passover was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what leaven are we supposed to be getting out now is what? That malice and wickedness. So the Passover is very relevant. So why do they have Easter in people's minds today? It's a deception. It's a satanic deception. Now, what I want us to look at is When did Christ die? When did they say he died? When do they say
They said he died on Good Friday.
Okay. Good Friday. Coincidence? Coinky dink? I think not.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the definition for Friday. It says, this is also dictionary.com. I'm not, you know, pulling this out of the nether regions of my behind. You know, this is actual fact. You can look it up for yourself. Friday. It says the sixth day of the week following Thursday. Origin. Before 1000, Middle English, Old English, Freak Day or Friar's Day. So, let's look up Friar. Who is Friar? Is that Friar Pan or who is this Friar? So let's
Friar
look up
Robin Hood.
Who is this? Who is this Friar? Friar. Scandinavian mythology, the goddess of love and fertility. So once again, we're back to fertility. It's back to those fertility rites, all of going all the way back to those different goddesses of fertility. That's what Easter was, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think it's a mistake they put it on Friday?
No, not at all.
And so when did they say that Christ rose?
On Easter Sunday.
Sunday. So, I mean, that's self-explanatory. Sunday, day of the sun, diasolus. So, my question is, from Friday to Sunday morning, Friday evening, because that's when they say Christ is supposed to die, Friday evening, right?
Mm-hmm.
To Sunday morning, can you get 3 days and three nights? Yes or no?
No, mathematically impossible.
So, if you're going to church, you got some questions to ask your pastor, don't you?
Uh-huh.
But let's read this, brother. Let's get Matthew 12 and 40.
Yeah. And also, when I put the scripture up in the chat room from the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, verses 5 and 6, showing that the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were, they coincided. You know, it's actually referred to one, you know, one and the same.
Right, absolutely.
Actually, the Feast of Unleavened Bread was actually a part of Passover, so... to the book of Matthew?
Mm-hmm. Matthew's 12 and 40.
All right. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. It says, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days and three nights.
So I've read some people's explanations. Well, maybe it was because, you know, 3 days and three nights, the time was different then. And so, okay, you want to say that? Okay, because if you go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's three,
now.
Isn't it?
Hold on now. Like the dog, I was about to say the damn sun just started changing the way it rose and set over the years.
Hey, but they've changed times and laws, the daylight saving times.
Oh,
that's
God.
What people try to rationalize. It's three days, right? So Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's three, right? Come on, you can't deny that's three. But let's look at John 11 and 9. So, okay, if there was difference in times, then there must be an explanation of how the time was running then. So let's see. There is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Book of St. John, chapter 11, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, let me show, okay, hold on. I'm in Luke. Hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
Here we go. John, chapter 11, verse 9. And it reads, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world.
So, if there's 12 hours in the day, how many hours are there in the night?
An additional 12.
Right. So, during that time, there was 12 hours a day, 12 hours of night. So, from Friday evening to Sunday morning, can you get 24 hours, three cycles of 24 hours?
No.
So, once again, church-going folks have been lied to. But you know what? People swallow that hook, line, and sinker. They won't do any investigation of their own because it's going to upset the apple cart.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to upset their Easter Sunday, their Easter festivities. You know, some people, they done picked out their Easter dress. They look their best, their Easter suit. They already know where they're going for their outing on that Easter. Like you said, there's many times, you know, the only time when sometimes families get together is on the Easter Sunday, Easter dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, it doesn't have anything to do with Christ. And I can remember, you know, a story I'm speaking to just years and years ago, over 10 years ago. I'm speaking to my sister-in-law, and we're talking about Christ. We're talking about the Bible. She's supposed to be in the Bible. So I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. You're in the Bible? We're going to see. You know? So we're talking about Easter. So I'm just going, hitting over all the scriptures, bam, bam, point after point, same points we're doing on this show, bam, bam, bam. And I was like, it says this, it says that, this, and it's like, her conclusion was this. This was her conclusion, and it was a true conclusion. Is that, well, I guess I'm not serving the Jesus of the Bible. That was her conclusion.
Wow. And that was fine with her.
Yeah, it was fine with her. It wasn't like, oh, my God, I need to change or repent. You know, I need to find some more information about this. It was like, well, I guess I'm not serving the Jesus of the Bible. And it's true. People are serving another Jesus. They're not serving the Jesus Christ that the scriptures is talking about. They're serving Satan by proxy. And what I mean is Satan has transformed himself into a counterfeit Jesus, a more festive, outgoing, showy, flamboyant, and Christ was never like that. He made himself of no reputation. Christ taught repentance, which means you had to look in the mirror. And do people want to do that? Let's look at Isaiah 30, one of my favorite scriptures. Don't want to look at yourself and say, I've got doo-doo on my face and it stinks. I mean, how can you miss it? But many people, that's why we look at people like, you looking at us like we're crazy. We're trying to tell you, you got doo-doo on your face. No, I don't. How could you say something like that? like, don't you see that? It stinks. I'm going to give you some soap and water to clean. No, I don't want that soap and water. You keep that soap and water. What's it going to do for me? You know, people are crazy like that. But most people have been deceived from a very young age. But you can turn it around if you're really seeking to serve the Lord and seeking to do what's right according to the scriptures. So read that, bro.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 30, and which verse do you want to read again? Okay, Isaiah 30 and 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the God, the law of the Lord.
Right, so this is the nature of the church.
Mm-hmm.
This is the nature of, remember, the Israelites had the laws, they were taught the laws every Sunday. This is why Christ had to have mercy on us. Because from a young age, were you taught the laws that you wasn't supposed to keep Easter, you wasn't supposed to have any other gods before you, and what those gods were in the world?
No, we were indoctrinated and ingrained in those things.
Because if they would have told you, you wouldn't be celebrating Easter, because Easter is another god, isn't it?
Exactly.
And I know a lot of people aren't going to listen to this show and the way I've titled it, because they don't want it to mess with their Easter. And it just shows the rebellion that we have against the Heavenly Father and his anointed Christ, because we don't want to hear what Christ has to say. we want to have a good time. That's what human beings want to do. They want to have a good time. They don't want to be told that what they're doing is wrong. That's why Eve took the apple. You ain't doing nothing wrong. Eat this apple, girl. You going to like this? Go ahead, read.
It says, this is 39, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit.
Here come Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, going to make your Easter gay.
You got to sing it right out.
Okay.
You got to hear them Peter Cottontail. Hopping down the bunny trail.
Hippity hoppity, Easter's on his way. It's all paganism. And most people, I didn't hear that word until I came into truth. Pagan. What the hell is a pagan? What? What's that? But most people are learning because television, the internet, you know, people I've spoken to, they say, yeah, I know Christmas is pagan, but what about Easter? Easter is just as pagan as Christmas.
If not more.
Yeah. If not more. Well, we did shows on Easter and Lent, on darkness to light, and you had the brother Akrai and Kadar and myself. Kadar, he's a confessed Mardi Gras, ex-Mardi Gras goer. So he was bringing out the things about Mardi Gras. But, you know, he was also a man of the Lord, and he was showing how all of these things are tied in together. They're all linked together, from Christmas to Lent to Easter. They're all linked together to the worship of these other gods. But we're going to take
We forgot to throw a carnival in there, too, because you had the carnival season and all the things that go on with that as well. Some of those being tied into that whole thing of Lent and Mardi Gras, and others going into, you know, again, just going to dealing with the other gods of, you know, of Bacchus and, you know, revelry and lasciviousness and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Can't forget carnival.
No, definitely not. So people have been out there shaking their booties and doing only the Most High knows what, and only the Most High, you know, we're not even going to discuss the base things that people have been doing, but people want to be lied to. That's what Isaiah 30 is saying. People want to be lied to. They don't want to be told the truth or the right things. The right things is the word of the Lord. It said they will not hear the law of the Lord. Prophesy not unto us right things. So what would a right thing be? Not to have other gods before you and not to celebrate Easter. But to keep the Passover, huh?
That's not relevant in these days and time. I mean, because just speaking from my own experience, you know, coming of age and starting to read the Bible for myself and learning these things, it was something like, okay, so what? It's pagan. Who gives a damn? You know, this is what we're doing now. You know, it's for the kids, or, you know, this is how Jesus wants us to celebrate it now, and, you know, or this is what we do and we follow. Yes, we know that it has pagan origins, but we've cleaned it up. And, you know, if this is for the celebration of Jesus' resurrection and the gift of life that he's given us. And that's how they paint this doggone thing, and we suck it up rather than, you know, truly looking at it for what it is. So I was one person who actually believed that, you know, at one point. It was like, okay, yeah, we know it's pagan, but it's got Jesus' name on there now, so it's cleaned up. It's been sanctified.
You know what we should do? You know what we should do next year, Abaja, is we should write to different churches in our local area and send them a flyer on Easter and see who's going to respond and come on the show. That's what we should do for next for Easter. And explain Easter after they've seen and heard everything, because some people just don't know. Some people know, and they stay, you know, they're willing, they're rebellious. Because once you know the truth and you say, well, it's pagan, but I'm going to do this and try to justify it. Now you're sinning willfully, and you're going to get the judgment of the Most High. But people,
you know what?
Go ahead.
No, I not to interrupt you, but the part of that is that having to change from something that you've known and been taught all of your life, that causes you to question for a lot of people, you know, and even for us, it causes you to question everything that you've ever believed in and taught. And for most people, they can't handle that, which is why they're more willing to hold on to a lie than to search out the truth for themselves. And, I mean, just read the scriptures for what it says. It's like, okay, you know what? This is what the Bible says. I'm not going to follow this other stuff, which I was taught to be true, even though what I'm reading in the scriptures is clearly contrary to that. Mm-hmm. But claim to believe in the Bible and be Christians and followers of Christ.
Right. I mean, when I first learned about these things, it wasn't that difficult to believe. It was the application and then dealing with family and friends. Oh, you're not going to do this, do that, and then explaining. But to say, man, I'm going to hold on to this? No. It's like, this is what the Bible say? Oh, well, you gone. Christmas gone. Mm-hmm. Easter gone. You know, I'm going to keep the Passover. Christ is up. My Passover? He was sacrificed. That's what's right. You know, it was a breath of fresh air. Not, oh, man. But most people see it like that because they don't want to. It's something that they're lusting after that they want to hold on to. Whether it's, you may lose family or friends. Family or friends may ostracize you. But do you really love Christ and love the right thing? Because Christ is about teaching the right thing. Now, we're going to take a short break. And we're going to be right back, so stay tuned.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, hippity hopping, Easter's on its way.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe. Take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Welcome back to Kings and Priests. We're talking about Easter and a true Easter, which is Passover, because the Easter that they're talking about is pagan. The Easter that you're keeping on Sunday is going into pagan worship. It's not going into the worship of Jesus Christ. Now I got some crazy Easter music playing. I'm going to turn that off. Don't want to hear that anymore. I mean, they've got some crazy different Easter songs, and I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with Christ. Christ died and he rose again, but what does that have to do with an egg?
Absolutely nothing at all.
What does that have to do with a darn egg? And I got a clip going into the whole egg origin and where it comes from. It comes out of the Babylonian mystery religions. But when you're dealing with the scriptures, it's just, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's in Exodus 20, Isaiah 8 and 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So many churches are filled with darkness when they're dealing with these Easter celebrations. If they're dealing with Easter celebrations, then what other deviltry or Satanism is in the churches? And before I play this clip, I was watching this documentary, and it was dealing with demonology. And mm-hmm. It was like showing the different books of demonology and like how these people who was dealing with demons and spirit, they drew just different images of the demons that they saw, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so this man was explaining, like, many people are going to these old churches in Europe, in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, so forth and so on, and the murals and the paintings is of these same demons that they have in these books of demonology.
Wow.
So the bishops, the monks, the friars, whoever you want to call it, this is what they were dealing with. And he was going and even explaining how the rope that they tied around them was the different you know, the string that they would draw in a different ceremony when they would conjure up these different demons. They would make the different pinnacle and different circles for protection that these demons sometimes would linger around, and they would tie the rope around them for extra protection. So a lot of these things that's going on in the churches is highly satanic. Pagan is just a nice up word that people, it's pagan. But you say Satan, but Satan. What do you mean Satan? Hold on. Yeah, exactly. When you say pagan, it's like, oh, it's not that bad. It's, you know, it's about earth and animals and herbs. You know, who doesn't like the herb? You know, that's what people are thinking. Like, I'm about to give me some herb right now. You know, that's what people are thinking. Pagan is nothing harmful in it, but it's very harmful. You know, let's listen to this clip. Easter egg, origin of Easter egg. Let's hear it.
Legend has it that when Semiramis died, she was too beautiful to go to heaven and was returned to earth in an enormous egg, which crashed and opened on the River Euphrates, revealing the naked fertility goddess whose first act was to change a bird into an egg-laying rabbit. The rabbit and the egg were then adopted by the pagan religions as a symbol of fertility. Here is Ishtar's egg with the symbol of the crescent moon upon it. The story of the red egg is even more disturbing as it stems from a pagan tradition of sacrificing a baby in the time of Easter, dipping an egg in the blood and presenting it to the respective fertility goddess. The baby was 3 months old as it had been conceived 12 months earlier at the previous Easter as a priest had had sex with a virgin. This was an ancient fertility ritual.
So, wow. So there goes a theory about the red egg. So the Christians took that and completely flipped it. You heard the mythology that the woman said about the red egg, that said if Christ was rose on the third day, then he would eat a red egg or something like that, and then Mary Magdalene brought him a red egg.
Oh,
but the red egg was dipped in the blood of babies that were sacrificed. So it's all going into Satanism. They say paganism, but who's behind the paganism is Satan. So this is all Babylonian religions that all nations have copied for themselves. Now, I want us to go to Psalms. Psalms 96 and 5 and read that. Because all the different nations, they have some form or variation of a fertility goddess that's worshipped in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Semiramis was the first one. Then it moved to Ishtar. Then it went to Ashtaroth. Then it went to Easter. Then it went to Diana.
Mm-hmm.
Aphrodite. That's the Greek and Roman. Now you have Easter, which is the Saxons or, you know, the Vikings or whoever. That's what now. Yeah.
Don't forget the Queen of Heaven, because I've been holding that scripture.
Been holding it. let's read this one and then we'll read that one. Read Psalms 96 and 5.
Psalms 96 and 5. For all of the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Yeah, it says, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So all these different gods that people have, they're all going into idolatry. So whether you call it Easter, whether you call it Ashtaroth, whether you call it Ishtar, these are all the gods of the other nations. And they're all very similar and the same because they're coming from the same source, from the Babylonian mystery religions. But what do we have to know? We have to know the scriptures, and what the scripture says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who are we supposed to worship? We're supposed to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob only. That's it. And we give thanks and praise to the Most High through his son, Jesus Christ. That's it. So why do these people got all these different variations of gods and different rituals and ceremonies that's not in the scriptures? Because it is paganistic, which is a code word for Satanism. You can't nice it up. You can't nice up disobedience to the Heavenly Father. So what was supposed to be done with these other gods? We were supposed to make nice with them. We were supposed to go along. Well, that's just the no. Those are the gods of nations of the worship. That's what the gods they worship. Don't mind them. It's okay. It's all right. What were we supposed to do when we saw these things? Get Deuteronomy 12 and 2. What was supposed to happen? It was just going to be okay, all right? What was supposed to happen?
Okay. You want 12 and where you want to start at?
12 and 2.
Okay. Here we go. Deuteronomy 12 and 2. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods. Upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree.
So what is this describing? This is describing when the Israelites were coming to the land of Canaan, which is Israel, that they would find all the places where the nations served their gods. And what were they supposed to do? Destroy them. So the Lord is not fond of us worshiping other gods. And you keeping Easter has nothing to do with Christ. Let me reiterate and state that again. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. You have to really question, what does a bunny rabbit have to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, biblically and scripturally?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. It is a pagan tradition and custom that they put into the church so they can get the pagans into the church instead of telling the pagans, look, you better repent or perish, like it says in Luke 13, repent or perish. And say, okay, well, we just let them do what they want to do. How is that repentance?
That's like saying, okay, this dude is a pedophile or he's a freaking whoremonger. Oh, I'm sorry, they already do that in a lot of churches anyway. Never mind. Anyway, you know, unrepentant. Not coming to seek repentance, but to remain in the works of the flesh, not to repent from them.
Hmm.
And then want to holler that you can't judge. You can't judge. Listen, the Bible says what it says. How is that judging? If I'm telling you what the rules state and what the rules say and how we're supposed to follow the rules, how am I condemning you or judging you?
You're not.
It's not Jacob.
Mm-mm. I'm stating the facts. But that's what people don't want to hear, the law of the Lord. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Everything going to be okay. You can worship what you want to worship. God is still going to love you. You can be gay, homosexual, lesbian, try before you buy, all these kind of things. God's still going to love you. God still love you. You know, you could be pedophile, sleep with boys, girls, whoever, and God's still going to love you. Even all of that, just say, I believe in Jesus, and I'll keep on being a whoremonger. God's still going to love you. That's not true.
My good is going to outweigh my bad.
That's not true. Get Psalms 50 and 5 on that point, and then I want to read, matter of fact, read verse 3. Deuteronomy 12:3, then go to Psalms 50 and 5.
All right, Deuteronomy 12:3. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place.
He said even to destroy the names out of that place. So they wasn't supposed to be mentioned anymore. So get the names out of here. The groves, the images of their God, and destroy the names. But as we see, through cunning, deceit, and wickedness of Satan, people being deceived and tricked and being deceived by their own lust, these names have endured over time. That's why you have Easter and you're associated with Christ, when you can look at any dictionary and see that Easter is a Christian festival whose origin originated from the worship of the fertility goddess. So it doesn't have anything to do with Christ. They adopted it. And they took the practices and they put Christ's name on it. But Christ doesn't have anything to do with it. So people really have to question their churches, their ministers, their pastors, like, are you going according to the scriptures or are you going according to tradition? Now, get Psalms 50 and 5, because you can't do whatever you want to do. Because people have this saying, God hates the sin, he don't hate the sinner. So if you keep committing sin, in Romans, the wages of sin is death. So if you keep committing sins, you're going to die, you're going to pay for that. Why would it say that then? So read that, Psalms 50 and 5. Does God just hate the sin and not the sinner?
Psalms 50 and 5. You should have to write when it says, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Sorry, it's a different one.
Hold on, give me a second here.
It's a different one.
I'm kind of in the...
Well, I'll find it.
Okay.
All workers of iniquity.
All workers of iniquity?
Yeah.
Give me a second here.
I'm going to get it before you. Psalms 5 and 5.
Yeah.
Not 50 and okay. 5.
All right. The book of Psalms, chapter 5, verse 5. Actually, let me start at verse 4.
Okay.
It says, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee.
Mm.
Let me read that again. It says, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee.
Mm.
Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity.
Right. So if you commit sin, God hates you. That's why he has a judgment for all those that break his commandments. That's why Christ came, so that you have an out, a get out of jail free card. It wasn't a get out of jail free. It was a get your behind off death row. We wasn't get out of jail free. No. It was a get off death row, because we all deserve death. But Christ died instead of us. He was a scapegoat. And you read about the scapegoat in the scriptures, because the scapegoat was a sacrifice. So it took the blame instead of you for your crimes. Now, I see we got a caller, Andrew 82848. So let's see what this person has to say, or they have a question or comment.
FPV just rolled it up.
All right there, Andrew.
Okay, I guess they had nothing to say.
He did have something to say.
Boy. And I'm going to use my classic scripture. The righteous is bold as a lion, but the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. So I guess that made his day to call up our show and to hoot and holler. So, but what we're talking about is Easter and the true Easter, because there's an Easter that you've been told about, like the pea cottontail and the bunnies and the eggs. That's the Easter that you've been told about, but you haven't been told the Easter, which is about Christ, which is the Passover. And go back and read that in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Many people do not know this about the scriptures in the Bible, that Easter really and truly in the scriptures is the Passover, that it's a transliteration of the Passover because that was the feast that they were keeping at the time. But in the scriptures, what we're supposed to do is the Passover. Read that in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7.
1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
So why are people keeping this satanically inspired day called Easter? Most people, because that's what they've learned. That's what they've been told. Christ is our Passover. Christ is our Passover. Even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Not an Easter egg, not a bunny. So why don't people keep the Passover? When did Christ die? It was on Passover. Everything, all the rituals that was done to the Passover lamb, it was done to Christ. Not a bone in his body was broken. So why are you going to keep Easter and Easter Sunday? It's not 3 days. People still debate about that. They're like, okay, well, we're just going to keep it anyway. It's not 3 days. Christ didn't die then. He didn't rise then. So why are you going to do it? People don't question. They don't ask questions. They don't care. They don't care. They want to hear smooth things. They don't want anything to rock the boat. But that's exactly what Christ did. He rocked the boat. He steered things up. But he was only able to steer things up because, read it in John 3:19. Let me stop talking. We read about four different definitions of Easter. The one they had at the top that most people accept, which is, it's an annual Christian festival to commemorate the resurrection of Christ. But all the rest told you that what? It was a festival. Yeah, it was a festival of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
So read that.
Oh, yeah, St. John 3:19. See, this is the thing that when you try to tell people, you know, what the scripture says, and they're looking at it as, oh, you're judging me. Okay. 3:19 in St. John. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the condemnation. That's the judging. Not the fact that, you know, not the fact of, regardless of what's right or wrong according to the scriptures, you, because it's coming out of your mouth, not because it's written in thus saith the Lord, but because it's coming out of your mouth, you're condemning me and you're wrong. You cannot judge. But I'm going to read it again. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the condemnation.
This wow.
The word is judging us. Not the person in front of us that's speaking the word. The word is judging us and discerning the difference between evil and good, and letting us know the difference between right and wrong. But our deeds were evil, and we loved the evil more than the light, which is repentance through Christ. And we can't be that way. We have to come out of the works of the flesh. That's what repentance is, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it goes without saying, I got another clip I want to play. But, I mean, it's just really crazy to me how people miss the truth even though they've been told the truth to their face. So, actually, there's a scripture that says, you know, people have ears to hear, but they don't hear. They have eyes to see, but they see not. Christ said this because he was there. He's the Christ, and he's walking, living what the scripture said, and they didn't recognize him. So many people, you know, it's the same thing today. They're deluded because of their sins and their wicked ways that they don't want to see the truth. But I know many people are seeking for the truth. They're seeking for Christ and to do the right things. And if you are, you're going to find them. You know, it may not be straight away, but if you keep searching, Christ said, seek and ye shall find. But,
you know what? Before you play that clip, Good Diamond, just another aspect of Easter, because I, you know, the whole thing about the hot cross buns, you know, the little nursery rhyme and things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
The hot cross bun was basically something, you know, traditionally it's something that's eaten on Good Friday. You know, I know, like in the UK, they might eat it like kind of year round, but over here in the US, you know, the whole thing about the hot cross buns, you know, that's like traditionally a food that was bread that was eaten around the time of Easter. But that whole hot cross bun, I mean, and it goes, if you look at the origin of that and how it goes into the whole thing of, let me read this here real quick, okay? And, you know, just going into some of the history of hot cross buns. I'm on Wikipedia here. And you can then, can be cross-referenced, you know, throughout, you know, just history in general. It says, English folklore includes many superstitions surrounding hot cross buns. One of them says that buns baked and served on Good Friday will not spoil or become moldy during the subsequent year, blah, blah, blah. But what I want is, I just had it here.
You lost it.
I lost it. Here we go. Here we go. The history behind it. It says, in many historically Christian countries, buns are traditionally eaten hot or toasted on Good Friday with the cross standing as a symbol of the crucifixion. They are believed by some to predate Christianity. Yeah, that's true. Christianity as we know it. Okay, here we go. Although the first recorded use of the term, quote-unquote, hot cross bun was not until 1733, it is believed that the buns marked with a cross were eaten by Saxons in honor of the goddess Esther. The cross is thought to have symbolized the four quarters of the moon, going into their philosophy and things of that nature. Esther is probably the origin of the name Easter.
It is. Not probably. See, they try to cast doubt on it, like maybe it might be, but we're not really sure about it. No, it is. It's the worship of Easter is the worship of all the gods.
But see, the thing is that that whole thing, Esther, because you remember earlier in the show, before we went to the break, you were going through how all of the different nations, whether or not they were ruling the face of the earth or not, they had their own version of that fertility goddess, whether it was Isis in ancient Egypt, whether it was Ishtar, whether it was, you know, you're going from ancient Babylon to, the Babylon during the time that they had Israel in captivity, or the Assyrians, or the Greek goddess, or the Roman goddess. It's all the same thing, just regurgitated and put a different name on it.
Right.
I want to read Jeremiah 44:15-17 real quick. It says, then all the men knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouths, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But here it is, verse 18 is what I really wanted to get to. Here we go. I'm going to jump down to verse 19 just for the sake of time. It says, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and to pour out drink offerings unto her without our men?
Right.
So that the cakes that they were making unto the Queen of Heaven is the same Easter. This is where your hot cross buns comes from. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand. This stuff didn't just pop up overnight. This isn't something that just people were just casually doing or casually adopted and said, oh, this is about Christ. This thing goes way back.
Right.
And it's not hard to connect the dots. All these little stuff is going back into the idolatrous practices from way back in the day.
Right. So we're going to play this clip. I mean, you set it up beautifully. So I'm going to play the clip now.
Even the humble hot cross bun has its origins in pagan tradition. The buns were presented to the Queen of Heaven, and the T on it actually stands for the first letter of Tammuz. Here are several representations of the cross and the T before Jesus Christ. And also in Greek writing, it was often used to represent Tammuz with his identification of the sun. Here's a picture of Tammuz.
So there it is. Your hot cross buns.
One Easter. Tenth, two tenths. Hot cross buns, hot cross buns. Hilarious.
That's crazy. Okay, let me see. Sunday is about sun worship. Now, in the scriptures, are we supposed to worship the sun?
Oh, gosh. Can I go to Exodus, the 20th chapter, to answer that?
Sure. Because I know there's many groups and many black groups that try to awaken their blackness by going back to Africa and going back to African gods. And one of the African gods was Ra, which was going back into sun worship. Yeah. And that's that's where you get Amun from. Well, you look in the Hebrew, it doesn't say Amun. It doesn't pronounce that way. It's not the same. And a lot of the different terms they have for the African gods or Greek is not the original language that they were speaking.
I see. I'm gonna read this real quick, and I see something in the somebody has a question in the chat room.
Okay.
Here we go. The question that you had to pose earlier: are we supposed to be worshiping the sun? Exodus chapter 20, and I'm gonna start at verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And let me read verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So no, we are not supposed to worship the sun, period.
And that goes right back to Psalms 96:5, where it says, all gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The Lord made the sun, the moon, and the sign, and the stars for signs of season and of times and the feasts, so forth, and so on. So, no, we're not supposed to serve those things.
Exactly. You know, it's just funny how, you know, like I said, being on that side and having that information brought to me, it really helps me now to understand just the, you know, just where people are at in general with that, because part of the reason, again, you know, that people, we all have different motivations for holding on to things that are contrary to the scriptures.
Mm.
But one of the primary things, you know, when it comes to questioning the way that you were raised as far as your faith is concerned, is fear.
Mm.
It's fear.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Okay, you mean to tell me that everything that I have done regarding this Bible here and my faith is wrong? Okay, you messing with some dude. You ain't just talking junk. You ain't talking about my mama. You ain't talking, no, you dealing with, you know, the higher power.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like, well, if we are supposed to be a follower of as it is written, this is the guy. These are the rules here. And you can clearly see that what is being put into practice is not according to what is clearly written. That strikes a chord of fear in people, because it's like, listen, this is the only thing that I've known to be right and true in my life, and here you come. Not the fact that it's written there in the scriptures and that this is something, a book that you're supposed to read out of, that we're supposedly reading out of every Sunday. And I say Sunday for the Sunday-going, church-going Christians or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this coming strictly from that perspective. But the fact that you, the perception is you are bringing this, okay, you lying. I don't believe what you are saying. But it says right here in the book, I don't believe it.
Right.
That's not what my pastor says. That's not what I believe. But when in the scriptures did it ever say that man or a pastor or a prophet or anyone for that, you know, for that matter, has precedence over thus saith the Lord?
It doesn't. That's why Christ said, if you're going to believe on me, you have to believe as the scriptures have said. Because many people take what they want from the scriptures and they get whatever they want to do or tradition. And I want us to look at that. Go to Mark 7:6. Because for many people, Easter is a tradition. So just like Christmas, you could tell people, look, Christmas is pagan. It doesn't have anything to Christ. Christ was not born on December the 25th. That's a lie. They're lying to you when they tell you that Christ was born on December the 25th. You know, it's just the same as Easter. Easter egg doesn't have anything to do with Christ. It's paganistic. A bunny rabbit doesn't have anything to do with Christ. An Easter basket, an Easter egg hunt doesn't have to deal with anything that's dealing with repentance. Christ taught repentance. People don't want to hear repentance. They want to get their freak on. They want to have sex. They want to do drugs. They want some kind of relief from the pressures that they have in their life. They don't tell me after I don't work, you know, 5-6 days a week, you know, 40, sometimes 50, 60 hours. Now, you know, I want to go and get drunk on a Friday after I get paid. People don't want to hear, look, you're not supposed to be get drunk. That's how I'm going to alleviate the pressures in my life. I don't want to hear that. Most people don't want to hear that. And then it's like what you said about just like what I've been told. Were you trying to say my mama wrong? You know, they take it personally. They're not looking at the scriptures. So read Mark 7:6. It was the same thing when Christ was walking around. You think things has changed? Oh, I've got a cell phone now. Things have changed? No. Read Mark 7:6.
It says, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Read verse 5 so we can get a gist of what was going on. Because it was a conversation that Christ was having with the Pharisees and the scribes, and they began to question Christ. So read verse 5.
Okay, Mark 7:5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?
So many people, they're going according to the tradition of their elders or their pastor or their minister. This is what the minister said. This is what the minister taught. So let's hear what Christ's reply was. Verse 6.
Right. And just to add on the diamond, because even when you go back to some of the things pertaining, the articles pertaining to the Levitical priesthood, you know, there was a lot of things in that order as far as the washing of the pots and the washing of the hands and things of that nature.
But what they're talking about here are things that they added on to the law.
Hmm.
That's why it says the tradition of the elders and eat bread with unwashing hands. Because you had that. Now, granted, there was some things as far as, you had to be clean. You couldn't be defiled by a dead body and things of that nature when you partook of certain things of the temple.
Right.
But what they're going into here is things that were added on by the elders.
Right.
Okay? And in the same light, a lot of things that are in practice today, it's not in the scriptures. This has
right.
nothing to do with the repentance of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with the new covenant, okay, and the keeping of the commandments through Christ's example. It's some bull crap that was added on to provide by man. So just had to throw that in there. I'm going to start at verse 5 and read all the way through again.
Okay.
It says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?
Hmm.
Verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
So this is what people are doing on these Easter celebrations. They are honoring Christ with their lips. But what did Christ require for us to do? Is to repent and keep his commandments. If he said, if you're my friends, then you're going to do what I say. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So read verse 7.
Verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men.
So before Constantine, there was no Easter celebration.
Not
before the 4th century.
Follow Christ.
Before the 4th century, the Christian church kept the Passover because Christ is our Passover who was sacrificed for us. He brought that in. He Christianized the Roman Empire, made Christianity the state's religion, and he brought in all his paganism and the paganism of the other nations to get the pagans in the church. But according to the Bible is separated from anything that's paganistic or satanic. So read verse 8. So how be it in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines and commandments of men. So when you keep Easter, you come together with your family, that's not in the worship or honor of the Heavenly Father or Christ according to the Bible. It's satanic. It's not profit you any form of fashion. It's not going to get you any kind of weight or currency or favor with God. So read verse 8.
Verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things he do.
So he was going like, there's many things that people do to put aside the commandment of God that they can keep the tradition of men. And Easter is one of them, because people hold fast to Easter and they won't keep the Passover, even when Christ is synonymous of Passover. He's called the Lamb of God. What was sacrificed on Passover, Abadja?
The lamb that was supposed to be the whole, just going to how the lamb was sacrificed, and I mean other things that went into it as far as dealing with the scapegoat and all of that. But the lamb was sacrificed on Passover, and that's what we partook of.
Now I want you to read the next verse. I see we got a caller in the queue. Well, I want you to read this next verse before we get to this caller. Read verse 9.
Verse 9. I'm gonna read 8 and 9 together.
Okay.
It says, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition.
So that's what people are doing. When they hear the truth and they hear paganism, God doesn't have anything to do with paganism. Okay.
And the diamond?
Yeah.
The thing about it, when he said, full well ye reject the commandment of God, meaning that, make no mistake, you fully understand exactly what it is that you're doing. You have a clear conscience, and there's no misunderstanding that you are rejecting the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. So it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a misunderstanding. Oh, we got our wires crossed. No, we fully understand that we are rejecting the commandment of God to keep our own traditions. We fully understand that we are rejecting the doctrine of repentance that our Lord and Savior commanded us to preach throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
We reject that to keep our own tradition. and men love darkness rather than light because the righteousness is coming to the world. Go ahead.
But you have to know Satan has done a good job in making darkness look like light because it says even Satan is transformed into an angel of light. So he's made this day look like it's about Christ. But when you look under the surface, when the Lord opens your eyes and you look at what the scriptures say, you see it doesn't really have anything to do with Christ. It has everything to do with satanic, from the Good Friday, which is Friar's Day, which is a goddess of fertility, from Easter, the name Easter, which is another god of fertility, to go into sun worship, which is a worship Sunday, Dies Solis, which is the worship of the sun. Now let's take this this caller, see what this caller has to say. Okay, caller from 314-381, you're on Kings and Priests. What's your question or comment?
Oh, this is Tianchi. I thought you'd recognize my area code by now. How you guys doing today?
All right, how are you?
Yeah, all right.
I'm doing fine. You know, I was going to make some comments on I'm starting to understand how your teaching is going over. And it seems like you're trying to assume that all black people was the ones who decided to write those first five books.
No, our teaching is not going that. What we're teaching is repentance. You're not really listening very good because there's no such thing as black people. What we're talking about here is Easter in the church, how Easter is a pagan tradition. What do you have to say on that?
Well, Easter in the church, that's something that I guess that's the way they interpret it, and that's the people in the church, that's the way they decide to use that.
Come on, Priyanka. I see you as a man of knowledge and wisdom and research.
I think you have some more to say than that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I got a little more to say than that because I tell my children, grandchildren, relatives are taught not to adhere to that.
Okay.
For what it is used now. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I listen to some of your sermons. I drop in and drop out. And I agree with a lot of things that you're saying. But the thing that kind of irks me a little bit, of course, people have a right to do whatever they want to, is when we try to chastise all people for not doing as, you know, you may read it, that they should be doing. And all people are not the same. And I'm sure you agree with that.
Yeah, all people are not the same.
Yeah. But it's good to read. And, you know, even within, as I put in the chat room, even within the scriptures, you still, you know, after the first five books, the Greeks came along and added. And you can see their trademark as they talk about the constellation called the Maserat. When they make reference to Orion and the Bear and the Pleistocenes. Well, you know, Kemetic people had those constellations all named and all laid out when somebody else came in and borrowed and used and plagiarized for their own purpose.
Well, even the word Kemetic is not the original word, which is from the Greek and the Romans. See, there's a lot of things that...
Well, wait a minute. Kemet is written in the Metanetra on the walls, and I can show you pictures of them, even take you to those places. So K-M-T is... You mean the word Isis and so forth is Greek's term. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
But there's a lot of things that's been translated or transliteration or whatever. Like, for example, we was using Ethiopian Kush, where in the Bible, Ethiopian is Greek, as you know. But in the Hebrew, it doesn't say Ethiopia. It says Kawash or Kush. That's the real terminology that means burnt faces. So it's about
Greek
study and research and checking it out. But what we're talking about.
Yeah, but you know there was an Eastern Kush, too, Nile. The Eastern Kush lies there between the Tigris and Euphrates. Because, you know, they talk about the Eastern Kush.
Yes. Well, let's get back.
And there was a Southern Kush.
Let's get back
but
on task.
This Easter thing is coming up, and we celebrate it. Let's see where I say we laid out that it wasn't the celebration, but it was the actual event where the vernal equinox, where all around the world, day and night is of equal time. And that happens two times a year.
Right. But that's not what we're talking about here today. What we're talking about is the lies that they tell in churches about Easter. So
they tell a lot of lies in them churches.
Yeah.
They will run you out of there.
That's why I
tell you guys, don't run people out of the chat room, because if you go to church and try to get that across, they would run you out and you would feel hurt. At least me, a man.
We're just trying to do our best to bring out what the truth is.
Yeah, and I agree with you. What you're saying, you know, I agree with you. Everybody can't be right. Somebody always knows something, a piece that somebody's using that may not be correct, but you can only go with the best that you can.
All right. Thanks for your call, brother.
Keep up good work.
All right.
So, very interesting topic, don't you think, Abaja?
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
Okay.
And I know many people have questions about Easter, and it's time to start asking these questions. Whether you put them to your pastor, whether you put them to us, we're only going to tell you what the truth is according to the scriptures. Now, in the scriptures, 3 days and three nights, you won't get that from Friday evening to Sunday morning. You won't get that.
No.
You won't get it. I mean,
just
Easter eggs in the scriptures, you won't get that. It doesn't have anything to do with Christ. Matter of fact, as a memorial to remember Christ, the Last Supper was what? When were they having the Last Supper, Abaja? What was Christ keeping?
The Passover.
The Passover. So it really bugs me out that people would miss that, or because people are being led astray. Let's put it straight. Many people are being led astray. The leaders of this people caused them to error, because that's what they're going to learn on an Easter Sunday. They're going to go to church, and their pastor is going to tell them about, okay, after church, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt for the children. And many people are going to indoctrinate their children in that. But it's not found in the scriptures. So we're going to wrap up the show. But three scriptures. Let's first start at Isaiah 8 and 20.
All right. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. And it reads, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them."
So explain that.
Well, basically going right back to all of the prophets that were sent of the Heavenly Father had dealt. It says to the law and to the testimony. Because you're looking at it basically to it's what that means to us in these days and times, to the law, because what? The laws of what was given to us by the Heavenly Father through Moses, as far as the guidelines and how to worship him and the moral code of conduct, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And the testimony, going through the things that the Lord had given to us, even when you look at different things that happened to Israel throughout our history,
mm-hmm.
okay, as far as how he brought us out of the land of Egypt, okay, the plagues that came upon the land of Egypt, and all of the signs and wonders he did in the wilderness, and how it tells you even in the New Testament how these things were written for our learning. Okay, the prophecies concerning the Savior that would come and give repentance to the nation of Israel for the remission of sins. Okay, to the law and to the testimony. If they, meaning anyone that wants to pick up this Bible, okay, and proclaim to be so-called messenger of God or prophet, preacher, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Meaning if we do not speak according to as it is written, okay, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, it says it is because there is no light in them. Meaning that unless we're preaching this thing according to as it is written, we're not teaching this thing according to the righteousness of the Heavenly Father. We're not preaching this thing according to the understanding of Jesus Christ as it pertains to repentance. Because, again, I stated it earlier and I will keep saying it. That's what he commanded. When you look at it, it was at the end of the book of Luke and all throughout all of the New Testament. Repentance is what was taught.
by those that were followers of Christ, not money and not paganism and not all this other stuff that has infiltrated the so-called Christian church.
Hmm. And I see Apostolic Awakening Radio says, agree, but most pastors either don't know this info or refuse to divulge this info because of the rejection of traditional beliefs by members. So we read that in Mark 7, didn't we? How people will reject God to keep their own traditions. So many pastors, you know, that's what they're going to do. Otherwise, what? They're going to lose members so that they can, you know, prophesy deceits, because that's what people want to hear. And people will find, the scriptures speak about, you know, people finding teachers with itching ears. So they're going to find someone that's going to tell them what they want to hear. But we're not here to tell you what you want to hear. We're here to tell you what the Word of God says. And that leads me to my next scripture. Go to John, the third chapter and the third verse.
Okay. Hey, Donald, can I address something? Chauncey actually put something very interesting up in the chat room.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to address that, too, because he says, says correct on explaining what you interpret as the scriptures is reading, but this is the point here. He says, but keep in mind that the first five books were not meant for every person on the earth, nor is the Jesus of the Bible accepted by all people on the earth and nothing. He says, bad for them to feel that way. And you know what? What he says, that is absolutely true. The first
right.
five books were not meant for every person on the earth. It tells you that in the book of Psalms, it says he has not dealt so. And I said, let me read that. I know we're trying to wrap up here. But, oh, gosh. It's Psalms 147, I think, verses 19 and 20. I didn't want to, I'm not even trying to go off on a tangent here. But just to prove that point, you know, it says, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statute and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. So that is absolutely a true statement. Those first five books were not meant for every person on the earth. But the Lord tells us, throughout the prophets, how that Israel was going to be scattered to the four corners of the earth. And that is why the doctrine of repentance through Jesus Christ was commanded to be taught throughout all the earth, so that those that were scattered of Israel could be gathered back together in that one fold. That's what Christ came for, you know, because that's another lie that's being perpetuated throughout, you know, the so-called Christian churches, that Christ died for everybody. Christ didn't die for everybody. It said that he was going to be that Passover or that Savior for the nation of Israel, because Israel
right.
was the one that was given to the law to break in the first place.
Right. So, I mean, that's a whole nother class in of itself.
That's a whole nother
question. But it goes right into what, you know, what you're saying, to think, you know, the Bible is a universal book that was given to everybody. Why does it always speak about these Israelite people? And you know, that was one of the questions that I had when I was younger, and it scared me because I was like, it's all about these Israelite people. Where do I fit in? But when I went to church, I was like, oh, it's everybody. Don't worry about it. So being a child is like, okay, that's what the adults say. They know better than what I did. But is what I was reading, was true. You know, I had some form of understanding that, look, you know, the whole duty of man was to serve God. And I can remember telling my mother, we go into Bible study, I'm like, you know, the reason why we're here to serve God. They're like, oh, shut up, you're stupid, you don't know what you're talking about. But later, years later, reading Ecclesiastes 12 and 12 and 13 on down, like, that is why we're here. We're here to serve God and keep his commandments. So not everyone believes that, but it was given to us because all the nations were pagan and they served these different idols and different gods. And God did a good shaming of the gods of Egypt, the sun god Ra, the 3 days of darkness, their different frog gods, the god of death and all this. He did a good shaming of Egypt when he brought us out of it. But no, it's not for everybody.
Yeah. But
not everybody's going to get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to bring that point home, St. John 10:27, because you had Israel that had been scattered throughout those different captivities and were living in those other lands, basically as the other nations.
Mm.
You know, Christ came and summed it up in St. John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So it's not this doctrine, this gospel of repentance through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not a matter of you have to be dark skinned to receive this, okay? Or you have to come from, you know, somewhere in the northern hemisphere and be from a tribe of Judah because you are so called black. All that stuff is going into endless genealogies, which leads to foolishness. It has nothing to do with repentance. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So what that means to us in these days and times, that when this word goes out and you know and hear it and understand it, that means that you are the sheep that the scriptures are talking about, which means that right now it is imperative for you to follow that and learn that and repent. That's
right.
What that means.
Right, and we've never said this is for all dark skin or black people, so Pianca, you shouldn't really say that because that's untrue. We haven't said that. So we speak about an Israel that's been scattered. We speak about Christ's sheep hearing the voice of the Lord and returning. Those that hear Christ's voice and do what the scripture says, those are the people of the Lord that returns back. So be clear when you make these statements. You can listen to all the different shows that we've done, and we won't say nothing what you said. All dark-skinned people, those are the people. We haven't said that. So John 3 and 34.
Okay, back to the scripture at hand here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, St. John chapter 3, verse 34. And it reads, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
So the one that's sent by God, he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. So you have a pastor or a preacher, he's not teaching you correctly according to what the scripture is saying. Is he sent by God?
If he's not, no, because there's no light in him.
No, he says, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. So the scriptures tell you that what? Christ is our Passover. What should we observe?
We should supposed to observe the Passover.
Well, why is many pastors keeping Easter then? Because they're not sent from God. They've gone to their theologian school where they taught some theosophy. They're not taught about the how to prove the scriptures. It's more taught about the to disprove the scriptures and tradition and rituals, but it's not going according to the scriptures. The things they do it in the church is not according to the scriptures. Even from the Sunday worship, it's the worship of the sun. And some people worship the sun. They think that's fine, but according to the scriptures, it's not fine. So let's wrap this up. Let's go to Acts.
Yeah. Gotcha.
17 and 30.
Acts chapter 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I'm going to read
it again.
Verse 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
So this is what the main doctrine of Christ was, repentance. Repentance from what? Is it okay for a man to be a murderer, to go and murder another human being? Yes or no?
No. No, it's not.
Is it okay for you to lay down with your neighbor's wife?
No, it is not.
So, I mean, in some cultures, I mean, in Roman culture, they have orgies. They put on masks of the other gods and say, you know, they're children from the gods. Some will put on a mask of Diana. Some will put them on a mask of Apollos and say, okay, we're going to masquerade. And then they have these orgies. In some cultures, they think it's okay. I mean, they have groups now, they call them swingers. But if you're going according to the scriptures, you're going according to the Bible, it's not okay. It's not right. And you look at any culture or any civilization, what would happen before the fall of that civilization? It would morally decline. Because at one time, believe it or not, Rome had some form of family values. They believed in marriage and all, and then it just went damn the Caligula age, you know, the rails. And it's the same thing with America and these other places. It's just the morals and values of the nations has fallen. I mean, they've always worshipped other gods. But I mean, Satan wants to bring that more to the forefront. So you hear more about Easter as bringing to the worship of the sun rather than the worship of the Son of the Most High. So this is what we have to get back to. We have to get back to the honoring of the Heavenly Father through His Son, as the Scriptures have said, and how do we do that? Through repentance in Christ. This is the main doctrine that Christ taught. This is the reason why Christ died. And let's get that and read that. Get Acts 5 and 29. We'll finish on that.
All right. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men."
Read on.
"The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree."
So stop there. So we ought to obey God rather than men. So it's not about what men says, it's what about the Scripture says. Do the Scriptures speak about an Easter?
Yeah, it shows us that it's not something that's not of God. I'll say it that way.
Does the Scripture speak about us going around trying to find eggs on Easter Sunday that came from a mysterious bunny that brought them overnight? Because Easter, the Easter bunny and stuff is just like Santa Claus, isn't it? You wake up and who brought the Easter basket? It was the Easter bunny.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
Who brought this basket? It was the Easter bunny brought this for you. And you're thinking it's some mystical bunny that come and bring flipping gifts. Boy, you never look at the bunny the same way. Like,
exactly.
At the bro, where them chocolate eggs, money? You got some eggs down there. You know? You're not looking at rabbit. So.
Exactly. Can I read verse 31?
Yeah.
I'm going to start verse 30 again.
You read verse 30 and then read 31. Go ahead.
Okay. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins."
So this is the reason why Christ came and he died. Not for you to go around and have make statements about Easter and hunt eggs. He came to give us repentance, and that we have repentance from our sins. That's what it's about. It's not about an Easter egg hunt. This is something that was added to make it fun. So you're not thinking about repentance. You're thinking about, like one brother said, you know, when he was in the world, all he was thinking of was about a bash or a party at Easter. And that's what they're going to have. Easter bashes and parties, and people going to be dressing up in bunny lingerie and all kinds of freaky stuff. That's not about Christ. It's about fertility. It's about sex, eroticism. It doesn't have anything to do with Christ. Christ is telling us about repentance and getting ourselves right with the Heavenly Father before the judgment comes. So we give all praises to the Heavenly Father in Christ. Until the next time, we say shalom.
Shalom.
I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and agree that every man